Blog Talk Radio.
The line, amen, hallelujah. If our administrator is there, it's all hooked up. You can get us a commercial, and we'll see if there's any questions or comments from our previous week or something that has been sent in to us. Are you there, administrator?
Yes, ma'am, we're here. We're setting the line up. It'll be about
all right.
It'll take a couple of minutes. God bless you.
All right. God bless you as well. Hallelujah. Let us know. Second Corinthians, chapter number 1 and verse number 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. And again, I want to remind us that amen means so be it. Unto the glory of God, I, us, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. Say yes. So what does that mean? The promises that are in him are established. It means so be it. I say it often that in the beginning, it says in the word of God, it says, in the beginning, hallelujah, God said. And we have to understand, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And when he got that, when he got to verse number 3, it says, and God said, we don't even have to take it no more. Whatever God said, that's settled. We have to remember that it's a thing. But I also want us to preach and put with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20. You have to write these passages of scriptures down on a card. Make a t-shirt. Take a black marker or something. Establish this in your repertoire, if they put it in there and stand on this word. I'm gonna partner 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse number 20. Whoa. A promise is a promise. Joshua 1:8. When you put this together, my God, you got TNT, dynamite. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. When the word of God is established, you rehearse it over and over again, there's no shaking foundation. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and do according to all that is written therein. What is written therein? The promises of God. Say yea in him, and in him there amen. And it says that do all, observe all that according, observe to do according to all that is written therein. for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. That's a promise. And then thou shalt have good success. And he didn't say we weren't going to struggle. But if we keep it in our mouth, word in our mouth, if we recite, if we rehearse, if we be obedient, if we be willing, if we do these things, the promises in him is yea. Hallelujah. And in him is amen. A promise is a promise. If God told you, hallelujah, glory be to God, and he's going to save some disobedient family members, some hard-headed children that waver out. Oh, come on, somebody. We got to get it in our heart. We got to meditate on that word. We got to meditate on that promises. Hallelujah. He told us in his word to speak those things though as they were, even though they're not. That's a promise. Hallelujah. We can decree and declare according to God's word, because his word cannot lie. Young people, hallelujah. I want you to remember this because school is about to start back very shortly. And you may not see, hallelujah, how your year is going to come out. But I want you to take this to the bank. I want you to cash it in. And I want you to exercise your faith. And if you lay hands on yourself and you pray, hallelujah, with expectation and believe God's word, that Father, you will give me the wisdom and the knowledge that I need for this school year, that you will give me the wisdom and knowledge and bring it back to my remembrance. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. That I will have a prosperous school year better than I have ever had before. You got to learn that the promises of God is yea and amen. He said he's your very present help in trouble. It's a promise. Hallelujah. For us that are living from paycheck to paycheck, hallelujah. If we giving our tithes and offering according to the word of God and not being stingy, not being slack, not being lazy, hallelujah. If we decree and declare the word of God and being willing and obedient, the promises of God is yea in him and amen in him. Promise is a promise. He cannot lie. He's going to do something spectacular when we stand on the promises of God. I just wanted to drop those nuggets this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, administrator, give us a commercial this morning. We're going to come back and see if there's questions and announcements. Come back and see if there's questions or comments, and we're going to release Pastor Aaron this morning.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to his word, submit to his call, and submit to his commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Establish Evangelist Wilkes. We don't have any direct questions at this time from
on cue. But we will
get the announcement.
Please hold these dates in mind, please. On July 21st through the 23rd, Dr. Matthews is on his way to Montgomery, Alabama, to the Upper Room End Time Ministry, 6008B East Shirley Lane, where Bishop Derek Hooks is the host. Pastor services at 7 o'clock p.m. nightly. August 6th, he's on his way to First Pentecostal Assemblies International Church, 145-4359 Green Street in Horry, Illinois. Bishop Owens is getting ready for the church anniversary at 7 o'clock p.m. August 19th through the 21st, Dr. Matthews is headed to Brownsville, New Jersey, to Pilgrim's Full Gospel Ministry, 379 Lakehurst Road. Pastor Benjamin Coleman hosts Pastor. For more information, you can call 267-767-6511. Save the date, September 18th. Dr. Matthews on his way to San Antonio, Texas, hosted by Sister Tina Rice, Bridging the Gap, Birthing the Love, the Lifestyle Hair Studios at 5520 Walden Road, Suite 102, San Antonio, Texas. For more information, 726-444-0060. Baltimore, Maryland, getting ready. Dr. Matthews is headed your way October 7th. More information is forthcoming. God bless you. Even Dr. Brooks, God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, people of God, for those of you that is just dropping in, we gave just a little nugget this morning, Joshua 1 and 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 20. We bless God, hallelujah, for this third Friday morning. Amen, hallelujah. And the co-labor in the gospel, Pastor Aaron, this morning is going to release the word. If you have a question or comment, for those in the chat room, you could press 1 on the dial of your phone or you could put it in the chat. For those that's on the conference line, if you don't want to be audible, you can text 334-0-6152. And if you get a chance in advance, amen, you could always email your questions, amen, to LeBronMatthewsMinistries@gmail.com. An administrator will get those questions to us for us to be able to come back. Amen. No question is a dumb question or a stupid question. You can ask your questions. We're here to be able to assist you in the way of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It could be natural or spiritual. If you need that assistance, we are here to, with the help of the Lord, to try to guide and lead you according to the way that the Spirit downloads in us to answer your questions. This morning we are going to Pastor Aaron, amen, hallelujah. You heard him on the first Friday of the month. He's going to release a word on this morning, amen, and hallelujah. We're going to just, amen. All right, Pastor Aaron, it's in your hands.
Amen, amen. I just want to say just thank you all just for having even this platform in itself. This is, you know, my second time being up here. You know, so I'm just excited for once again what the Lord is about to release. And I'm just thankful just even for being or given the opportunity to even share with you all. You know, it's one thing to, you know, go live through our church page or if God give me a nugget here and there and I, you know, share amongst, you know, who I'm familiar with. But, you know, even with being familiar with stuff, sometimes it takes going into unfamiliar territory to prove that God is still God, to show that God is still God. So this is a word that I released a couple of weeks ago. But I wanna bring it, you know, to this line because this was something that I saw that was very important. And I'm gonna mix it up a little bit, you know, because I don't believe in relaying certain stuff the same way I did at the time before. So I'm going to mix it up a little bit and kind of, you know, break it down, you know, even further. Because, I mean, that's how my mind works. It doesn't matter how big or how heavy the word comes. You know, I'm just a person, and I've been like that since I've been a child. I like to take things and break them down and then put them back together and see, you know, what the end result is, but this is a word that came to me. The first part is called pastor in the pasture, you know, and God gave me that first part some months ago, you know, and, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, God was kind of just, you know, sharing with me about even how I need to conduct myself as, you know, and this is before I became a pastor. This is some months before my ordination, actually, when I received that word of being a pastor in the pasture. But the second portion, and this is how, you know, my brain works, or how, you know, I'm the stuff comes to me, the word comes to me, and my mind begins to download. I get like a second part to maybe the first part in which I'm saying. So I'm going to talk about sharing. Now, mind you, I'm saying being a pastor in the pasture, but I'm talking about sharing, and then sharing is spelled. And I'm pretty sure everyone is here is competent, you know, spell, but I like to, you know, this is me, I like to break it down. But it's sharing, which is S-H-E-A-R-I-N-G. It's called sharing. And when you think about sharing, that's normally dealing with the cutting off of wool, that's usually from a sheep or any form of animal. And I'm comparing us as sheep because we are still considered sheep. You know, once you become saved, you know, we are still sheep. You know, we become sheep in a sense. You know, so I'm talking about sharing, not necessarily of an actual animal. I just gave that definition of what sharing meant. But I'm talking about how we as the body of Christ, we have to cut certain things off. We have to cut back on some stuff. And then I'm going to mention about God's surgical properties. And this is something I find very awesome because I remember, and this is some time ago too, before I became, I got officially ordained as a pastor, how God was dealing with me about, you know, issues on the heart and the mind and stuff like that. And so whenever you get into your word, whether it's the Old Testament or New Testament, you know, when you look, you pay attention, you'll find that God has lots of surgical properties. You know, even when God is talking about, and my scripture is going to be coming from Ezekiel 36, verses 22 through 27. But God is going to be talking about pretty much removing the stony heart and giving the Israelites, giving his people a heart of flesh. And so, you know, and I was teaching about the heart and, you know, things of the mind and of that sort like that, and how the God, you know, the word of God is like a two-edged sword which can discern and cut through the heart, the flesh, the body, the spirit, you know, anything pertaining to man. God's word is a two-edged sword. And think about it, when people go through surgery, something has to be cut. Whether you have to cut back something to get to something, or something has to be cut off to avoid from contaminating something else. And so, you know, I just, when I think about the word of God like that, you know, it brings upon a new excitement to me to want to even go further into what the word of God is saying. But once again, my subject is called Pastor in the Pasture and the Sharing. And I won't be before you too long because, you know, if there may be some questions, you know, once I'm through teaching, and I'm open to answer that as well. Even if Dr. Wilkes or anybody else who's on the line, you know, they have a comment or, you know, a question, something of the sort, I'm open to, you know, people chiming in. And, you know, because even something, it may be something that may be asked or said that may open up my perspective. And it's going to challenge me. I'm a person that, there are things, I'm a person, I'm going to have to be challenged for me to, you know, go ahead and go forth with certain stuff. You know, if I don't see a challenge in it sometimes, I become a little complacent myself. So, so if there's any question or comment or concern, and I'm a person, I tell people, look, I don't have an answer to everything, but I know who to go to, and which is God is the source. I'm going to go to the source, which is God. Amen. But it's called Pastor in the Pasture, and we're talking about sharing. And before I get into the scripture, I'm going to talk about the dangers of not sharing. Now, this is the natural dangers, but I want you to really have an ear to hear and catch it in the spirit now, because so as the natural, so is the spiritual. So when you're thinking about the dangers of not cutting off or not sharing or not getting surgeries, well-needed surgeries, there's going to be dangers that's going to occur in your natural life, but also when you don't cut off things in the spiritual, it's going to become dangerous as well. So I'm going to read the definition of sharing once more. So sharing is the cutting the wool off, and that's off a sheep or other animal. And then I'm going to talk about God's surgical properties, but I'm going to go into the dangers of not sharing. So the first danger of not sharing is sharing cuts off circulation. So when something cuts off the circulation, that means it's no blood flow. And then there's no, so without the blood flow, there is no life. I'm going to say that one more time. So the first danger of not sharing is it cuts off circulation. And so without the circulation going on, that means there's no blood which is flowing. And without any blood flowing, that means there is no life. And so, you know, and it's amazing, too, that even a couple of weeks ago when we went to the conference in Chicago, God was telling me that, look, I need you to get your life. So for God to say that to me, you know, even in the midst of me being at this conference, you know, even in the midst of me being amongst people of God, for God to tell me, okay, you need to get your life, that means I had something that was cutting off my circulation. That means I was still holding on to something, or allowing myself to be strangled and choked up by something, which was not allowing me to flow into the correct spirit or flow into the right spirit of God. So I had to say that even a couple of weeks ago, during the Prophetic Lifeline Conference, that day by day it took something. Something had to be cut off. Something had to be shaken and stirred up for me and my personal life and my spiritual life for that flow, for that life to keep flowing back into me. You know, and I'm going to be real, you know, once you, and it's not about being super religious, super spiritual, but due to the DNA in which we have in God, you know, the DNA we have in Christ, we know an extent, okay, if something's not being right, something's not wrong. You feel that connection of some sort is being held up and being blocked. So even though I was in this atmosphere and I was getting charged up and getting excited in the atmosphere, you know, there was a roadblock. There was something that was stopping me from moving forward. And it wasn't, you know, and the thing about people, you know, as people, I'm not going to say as Christians, but we as people, as humanity, we look to blame somebody or something for what is causing us not to go forward. But the thing is, you have to come to a place of accountability where you know, okay, that's me. Now, the thing about a sheep is a sheep can't shear itself. But that's what makes us different from your average sheep. Now, even we, in a sense, can't necessarily shear ourselves. We have to go to our Father and by name of Christ Jesus in order to get that stuff cut off. So we have to recognize that there is a problem first. We have to recognize that there is something that is cutting off my circulation. There is something that I'm looking to flow. I'm looking to flow in the spirit, but I feel like I'm being stopped up here. I feel like something is piling up and it's piling up, and I don't know what to do. So you have to recognize that there's a problem first and foremost. A lot of us, you don't want to recognize that we're the problem. There are times I have to admit, you know what, that was me. You know, and I got to a point where even if somebody else does do it, somebody does do something, I still got to look at the fact, okay, what do I do? Where do I go from here? You know, because even trying to seek some form of revenge, that ain't the answer, because that's going to cause another form of circulation being cut off. Because even the word of God said, vengeance is mine. You know, so there's some things it's best to go ahead and leave alone and let God handle it. Let God do the cutting off, you know, even down to family and friends. You know, people might say, well, you can't cut off your family, can't cut off your friends. No, actually, yeah, you can. Now, you can still love your family. You can still love your neighbor, but you don't have to sit there and allow people to stop, block, and hinder you up. You know, you have to sit there and let people, and we have a habit of saying, get on my last nerve. Because that might be that last nerve might be the nerve you're going to need. So recognize the hold up, something ain't right, something going on internally with me. But, you know, but if you're letting that last thing you're holding on to, and you're putting that into the hands of somebody else, and they're putting that grip on it, that's still you cutting it off, cutting your own circulation off, because you're giving somebody else that power to cut off your circulation, cut off your flow. So once again, it cuts off circulation, and that means there's no blood flow. That becomes dangerous. That means without the blood flow, there's no life. That means something is dying. Something is dying in you, and you have to get that thing cut off before it becomes contaminated. The second thing is immobility. Now, mind you, I'm still talking about, I'm sharing what's going on with natural sheep, but I'm sharing what goes on with us as the body of Christ. Because even if we're if we're considered the body of Christ, and let's say the word of God says two or more touch and agree, let's say there's three of us together, there's a trinity. Let's say I'm standing in the middle. I have my right hand, I have my left hand member. And let's say I'm looking for both of them to do something. And I'm entrusting a task to them, you know. But let's say one of them does the task in which I ask, but the other one gets sidetracked, gets hindered. But that means when that immobility happens in that plan, there's a failure to move, there's a failure to execute. That means there was a plan in which I was looking to happen, but it could not happen because somebody messed up. Now, this is not a blame game because I said I was going to mix it up. I can tell you right now, I did not teach this how I did it, you know, some time ago, you know, because I want to bring this, you know, to a more up-to-date, to a more speed. You know, I'm a person. I don't believe in sugarcoating stuff or beating around the bush, but I'm still going to break this word down, but I'm coming at it from a different angle. So once again, I'm talking about immobility. So if you're entrusting somebody to do something, and you're just a small group, you know, even let's say we were back in school, we had a group project. If somebody in the group did not pull their weight, a lot of times that would often hurt the group. So that would hurt that body. If you're working, if the task is to be working as one on this project, then what is happening is if somebody who was failing to complete their end of the task is going to cause a hindrance, so that means you really can't move forward. It's going to put a physical strain on the rest of the group to make up for that lack. So we talked about cutting off the circulation, and even when your circulation gets cut off, let's say, you know, your people say, oh, like you said, your leg fell asleep. That's still immobility. That's still continuous immobility. So if you're either allowing someone to disrupt your flow or your mobility, or even if you have something that's internally in you that is disrupting your flow or your mobility, you're going to have a failure to execute, a failure to move on and move forward pertaining to the thing, pertaining to what's going on in your life. Because I'm a person that, you know, we talked about this last Friday about being victimized one way or another, you know. I must say, I truly believe at one point everyone has had this quote-unquote victim mentality. You know, there are some folks, some of us now as grown as we are and some much older, who still walk around and carry a victim mentality. And I understand, yeah, it may hurt because of who may have done it to you, but it comes a time that you're going to have to cut some stuff off. You know, when people go on the surgery and their arm or leg or something gets infected and they done tried to put any medicines and stuff on it and apply this on and apply that on it, a decision going to have to happen where somebody's going to have to cut something off. You know, but it's going to be for the better of you living. So a lot of us, we often become afraid to cut stuff off because we feel we need something to hold on to. And the fact of the matter is, holding on to people is not something that was in our DNA. When God created us, holding on to people is not something that God put in our DNA. It's one thing to, you know, in the Word of God says, you cleave, you know, a man leaves his mother and father and cleaves on to his wife. A marriage is something different. But when we're talking about friends you might have grown up with, some people, that's the problem. You may have grown up, but your friend probably didn't. I'm not saying to mistreat them or treat them any kind of, you know, different. But there's going to come a time people going to have to grow up. You can't sit there and stay stuck being immobile, your circulation, your flow being cut off due to somebody else. And I can honestly say due to yourself or myself because I feel the need to hold on to something that's blocking and stopping me. So I have to cut off some stuff. Sometimes we have to cut off some stuff daily, you know, and it takes recognizing. Now, check this out. The third danger of not sharing is blindness. So the third danger of not sharing is blindness. That means you can't see, and if you can't see, you can't focus. So a lot of us can't even see or recognize that there's a problem. We recognize if there's a problem, we don't know where the problem lies at. But if you are blinded, because I'm going to go back to the sheep now, when a sheep or animal that needs to be sheared, that wool, all fur, because even down to dogs, you know, some dogs have to, you know, go and be taken to vet shops or take to, you know, whatever they call them. My sister knows them stuff is. But, you know, dogs have to be taken to groomers and stuff like that to get, you know, fur cut off or even down to, you know, people go take their cats. So, you know, I'm not an animal person, but, you know, just catch it now that the animals have to get stuff cut back and their fur and wool cut back so that they can see. You know, my sister had one of them little yapping dogs. That's what I call them. And, you know, this dog would, its fur would grow up and grow out all over its face to a point. My sister didn't take it to the groomer, you know, regularly. It would eventually, after a few months or so, this thing would look like a big old fur ball. So she would have to go take it, you know, to the groomers or, you know, take it to somebody who pretty much knew how to cut around it and get it back clean, fixed up. But anyway, we let so much, you know, even after the term of pulling the wool over my eyes, sometimes we pull the wool over our own eyes or allow other people to do it to us because sometimes we're afraid of the truth. The truth will set you free. You might not feel free because you're so focused on being hurt. But the thing is, when you recognize what truth is and stop being blind, the process of you recovering from after this truth, it may vary for some. It might hurt for a time. But see, that's according to how we feel. See, and God ain't moved by how we feel. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there right now. You know, God is going to still work on what concerns us. But see, first and foremost, we got to get us together. In order to get us together, we got to recognize that, hold up, there's a problem. There's a problem, and I need something. I need this thing fixed. You know, so I thank God for being a God that will see our problem. And, you know, one thing I was always taught and raised and even have learned that God is a gentleman. You know, there are some things that God will do and can do for us, but it's going to take for us to even step up. Well, you know what I'm saying? If a sheep goes and wander off, how are going to get its wool cut? How is it going to be sheared if the sheep decides to go wander off and do what it want to do? So it's going to take you being present in the sight of God to get sheared, to get these things cut back. Amen. So once again, that was blindness. That means you can't see, you can't focus. And I say can't focus, that means that does not mean you got time to wander off from somebody else's pasture and focus on what they're doing. Stay in your lane. And I mean that for me too. I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but I'm what they call a straight up pastor or preacher, well, however you want to call it. But I don't, you know, when I release a word, I apply that to myself too. I dare not get up on the pulpit and throw some sticks and stones at people and figure in something they're going to bounce off the wall and come back and hit me too. So, amen. The next thing is that the danger of not sharing prevents nursing. So that means, when I say prevents nursing, that means it's like this. All right, I'm a pastor now. All right, cool. But, now that I have a quote unquote a congregation, or I have members, that means if I'm the leader, and I'm not being staying in tune with the things of God, that means I'm not being fed. So how can I go and share and reveal and feed my people if I'm allowing the wool to grow up with me? Now, I know nursing can only happen with female sheep, but it still applies to the spirit as well, because it's not always that what the pastor eat and doesn't eat is always contingent to the people, but you can have some people that the only way or for them at that time, their connection to God is you, the leader, the pastor, the minister, the evangelist. So if you're in a place of you're wandering off doing whatever, you're allowing your circulation to be cut off, you're being immobile, you're being blind, that means you are not equipped at the time or moment to nurse or feed the people who need to be fed. Now, I'm going to move on from that right there because I just want to let that nugget go out there. So even when I was doing this portion here, you know, honestly, that's not even how I said it last time. I'm just saying that's just how I'm flowing right now. I have to come at this at a different angle. But the last thing is that I believe I put that's mangling. So that's mangling. So mangling, and I might sound like the same thing, like the circulation being cut off, but I'm explaining that when mangling occurs, mangling or tangling, That means when all the wool is being overgrown and grown up over you or over the sheep, it hides the surface ailments. That means there are bumps, there are scars, there are bruises, there are bites and scratches and all kinds of stuff. There's other things working on that has been worked on you, but it was not sharing. That means, you know what I'm saying? It could be teeth marks from other creatures, other beasts. It could be an infection going on. But due to not sharing or not cutting out certain stuff, it's not going to show. And people are saying, well, how does that apply in the spirit? In the same manner, it's like this. Even with me being a pastor, minister, preacher, however you want to call it, I can dress up. I can look nice and look decent. But even put on that look that I got it all and I got it made. But that ain't nothing but mangling. I'm just throwing stuff on top of stuff to cover up that there's an issue, that I got an issue and I got a problem. I'm going to say that one more time. If I can look good and talk good and smell good and do everything to seem, or at least on the surface, because, again, mangling and tangling for a sheep is going to hide the surface ailments. So I can look good, talk good, dance good, do anything that they may seem to the natural eye that is good. But what I'm doing is hiding the surface ailments. Because, I'm pretty sure if the average person see a woolly sheep, they're not going to pay any mind that, okay, this sheep needs to be sheared. They're just going to think, oh, okay, a sheep. That's it. That's all you're going to think. Okay, it's just a sheep. You know, a woolly sheep. But you're not going to pay attention that, okay, hold up. When I look closely, that this sheep needs to be cut off. So that's why I thank God for being God. But you got to stay into a place of God. You know what I'm saying? Even with those farmers or people who go and they especially go in and they're professionals that, you know, shearing and stuff like that. You know, I don't know what they're called. But these people in particular look out for certain things. They monitor how the sheep is moving. They check to see if it's male or female. So God can discern the same way that these people, professionals who go and shear these sheep, they have to discern what the sheep is and what's going on. If there's an ailment, is it sick? This is how God sees us. That if we, as long as we stay in that place of God, and again, there are things that God is wanting to do for us, but we have to stay in his presence to get these things done, because you can't just literally wander off. You know, all the other sheep, you know, done came back, and they all together waiting to be sheared and standing there being sheared. I cannot just wander off place and stay someplace that I don't have no business being and expect for things to come off me and fall off me just because I wanted to. But long story short, this is talking about, in a sense, too, deliverance. Now, I had to take it to a place like this right here about shearing, but at the same time, and I'm going to tell you the difference between man and a beast. See, a beast or sheep or any type of animal that needs to be sheared, they have to shear externally. Don't get me wrong. Now, we as people got to keep ourselves up too, but we have to be sheared internally. You catch that? Sheep or beast, you know, anything that has wool or fur that needs to be sheared and have to be groomed up, they have to do it externally. But we as people have to do this internally. Now, I'm going to go into this next portion, but before that, I'm going to get into the scripture. That's Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 22 through 27. Then I'm going to finish off this second portion. And it's not going to even take long. I can't even say it's more of a portion. It's more just a closing remark, closing statement. Then I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Wilkes. So if there's anybody on the line that has a question or comment concerning, even down to what was just said on this morning. But verse 22 reads, "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, said the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." Now, I'm going to catch this part between verse 26 and 27. And while I'm at it, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to read 28, too, since I'm already here. "I will give you a new heart." And this is talking about God's surgical properties. This is what God has to do for us in the spirit. And I want you to catch it even between verse 22, leading into 25 and 26. That God is saying that he has to take the sheep or take the people, move them to a new land. So when a shepherd, you know, takes his sheep, he takes them to a new, what's it called? I'm going to say feeding ground. I mean, I had it in my head just now. I just lost it. But, you know, a shepherd, even down to people, a person who owns a ranch, a rancher, or however they do it, they'll actually take, you know, their herd to a different place to go and graze in the land, and they'll find them a different place. They'll shift around at a place for a time, for a season. They'll set up camp, stay there for a time, and then they'll go. So even God is talking about he has to take gather up all his people, gather up all his sheep, and relocate them and bring them back into his place and into his arms, not for their sake, but for his name's sake. And there was a teaching I did about that, even pertaining to how God does stuff to keep dirt off his name, per se. You know, but I'm not going into that this morning. Excuse me. Verse 26. I will give you a new heart. And this is talking about surgical property. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave you to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now, I want you to catch this part on verse 28. Now, mind you, Dr. Wilkes was talking about the promises of God. Verse 28 leads into talking about, I'm going to read verse 28 one more time. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. So basically, God had to go clean up and shear and perform this surgery upon his people, not for their sake, because God made a promise. God made a promise to their fathers and their forefathers and their fathers before them. God made a promise way generations before their time to the forefathers. And now he has to go back in, line his people up, get them together, shear them, or perform this surgery upon them so that they can walk back in his likeness, so that they can go back and have the land in which he promised to them. Now, isn't that amazing? That's the extremities in which God is willing to take. So I want you to understand, too, that though a sheep may wander off, and I did mention that you have to get back into that place, that when it comes down to promises that God makes, let's say your grandmother, your great-grandmother, somebody who was praying for you or praying for the generation or praying, you know, that pretty much praying for the generation, and God made your great-grandmother a promise. There's going to be a time where God may have to, just no matter what you're doing, now, yeah, God is still legitimate now, but God will have to, some form or another, work on your heart to usher you back into the place in which the promise was made so that you can live abundantly. But it's not just for you, but it's also for his name's sake, because God is a God that cannot lie. So, and you know what I'm saying? That's how powerful God's word is. When God says something, that's it. There's no going back. There's no turning back. God has to, one way or another, you know what I'm saying, you know, people talk about a contract and you know, they get into a contract and something goes wrong, but there's a loophole, or there's a little tiny printed text. But y'all know what I'm talking about. But God looks into that text, looks at that format and says, no, I got to do this for the sake of that. You know, look at this format here. You know, something like that. And that's what God has to do, right? That he has to work on our heart. Or even allow us to see that, hold up, that's the problem. The only person who can fix this is God. So there are going to be situations that even God may, you know, we say a ram in the bush. And God may literally send somebody, a stranger, maybe even an angel themselves, and say to you, you know, and propose a question or say something to you, and you'll know, hold up, wow, that got to be God. And that's going to cause your eyes to open up. So it's going to take away that blindness. Now, you're still, you know, immobile. The circle is still cut off. But at least you got rid of one thing. You're no longer blind or blinded by yourself or blinded by others. You're able to see a little clearly now. Now that you can focus, you can turn and see, okay, I need to go to God. I need to go to the shepherd. I need to go to the master, the father. I need to go and get this stuff cut off of me. You know what I'm saying? Cutting people off ain't contingent, or cutting situations and stuff off is not contingent to you hating that person or that thing. You don't, you know what I'm saying? It's not for you to hate. You know, I shared my testimony last time. I was in a place where I want to hate. If I can hate this person, then I figured I'd be fine. But I couldn't. I tried everything in me to hate, but it couldn't be so. It couldn't be so. So, you know, cutting somebody off doesn't mean you have to go act funny or act stink. It just means that you're going to have to love them at a distance. That's something, you know, I've learned about years ago, and something that I'm learning now. Now, I learned about it years ago, but I'm learning to do so now. You got to love some people at a distance. No matter who it is, sister, brother, mother, father, cousin, uncle, you know, people, friends, people on the job, you know, ex-members, some folks, you know, you just got to love them at a distance. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to act a different, still be cordial, but you got to love people at a difference. But, and this is the last little portion I was going to share right here. This is still pertaining to being cut off. Now, I mentioned, excuse me, y'all, I had a little tongue tied just now. I mentioned how sheep have to be, you know, cut off, different animals. But even down to us as people, you know, so almost like going to a barber or a beautician, an alteration is needed to discern the former you from the present you, and then from the present you to the future self. So I'm going to say that one more time. Almost like going to a barber or a beautician, it takes an alteration. So that means God had the same way that God has to, you know, alter the hearts of the people. Even we have something altered. We may get a different hairstyle, a different form of cut. You know, I got a beard, so you know, I might get my beard trimmed up here and there. I get a shape up, you know. You know, even down to the top of my hair, I might get that changed up. I might have braids 1 minute, or I might get something, you know, a little clip here and there. But an alteration is needed to discern the former you from the present you, and then from the present to the future self. So it's going to be different levels. That means, yeah, I might have shared and broken off some stuff today, but even still, it's going to be, it's one way or another, I'm going to have to go back. And this is not about, and I say go back, this is not about a person backsliding. So you don't have to necessarily backslide to have stuff shared off you. The fact of the matter is, it's deliverance. And then it's even going into different levels. That's why I mentioned the former you and the comparison to the future you. You got to get the present. You got to get something done to the present. That means there's something that we have to do now so that we can live in this present, but at the same time still work on the present so that we can have something done and set in place for the future self. Amen. But that was my message on this morning. It's more so about sharing. Now, I mentioned the first part of being a pastor in the pasture because God was still dealing with me about getting myself together, you know, that I need to share too so that I can be able to work with the body of Christ, work with the people who call me pastor and lead and guide them on how to go about being shared and how to, you know, pray for them, you know what I'm saying, and teach them and give them revelation so that they can tear off strongholds and finally be sheared. But if there's those who are just getting on or didn't really catch my name at first, I'm Pastor Aaron Myers of Ark Family Fellowship, and I just thank God for your time on this morning. Amen.
Amen. All right, Administrator, give us a commercial. We will come back and open up for questions and comments this morning.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Get ready for the prophetic experience. The three-night prophetic experience. Upper Room Intern Deliverance Ministry presents a three-night prophetic experience. July 21st through 23rd, 2021 at 7 p.m. nightly at 6008B East Shirley Lane, Montgomery, Alabama. Get ready. Get ready. Your host for this event, Bishop Derek and elect Lady Evelyn Hooks, your keynote speaker. Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. of Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries of Harvey, Illinois. The three-night prophetic experience, July 21st through 23rd, 2021, 7 p.m. nightly. You don't want to miss this. Upper Room End Time Deliverance Ministries, a three-night prophetic experience you don't want to miss. Meet us at 6008B East Shirley Lane in Montgomery, Alabama. Spread the word. Tell someone to come on in for this three-night prophetic experience with Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. July 21st through 23rd, 2021 at 7 p.m. nightly. You don't want to miss it. Come and get your blessing.
Amen. Hallelujah. We thank and praise God. Hallelujah for those announcements on this morning. We thank and praise God for Pastor Aaron this morning, releasing, amen, the word that he released on today. Administrator, is there any questions or comments from the chat room on the blog side before we go to the conference line?
No direct questions at this time. However, we have several comments. Thank you for breaking that down, that they've never even heard of that word. A lot of young people are saying, so they want to thank you for breaking that down, and they truly enjoyed the word, Pastor Aaron.
Man. All right. For those that do not want to be audible and you still have a comment, you can text 334-440-6152. That's 334-440-6154. I open up the conference line. I want to thank and praise God for Pastor Aaron talking about the dangers of not sharing, in case you didn't understand what he was saying, S-H-E-A-R-I-N-G. And he gave the definition of what sharing means, to cut away or, you know, like a sheep, but we comparing it to our spiritual walk with God. And so the first two things he talked about, no circulation. The first thing I thought about was the drawback spirit. Second, he talked about immobility, not about stagnation. Then I picture that came to me when he said about fear, cutting away. Hebrews 12:1 tell us to lay aside, for us to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily to beset us. But when we look about the stagnation, we can go over to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, especially hone in on Galatians 5, verse number 24. Amen. Because there is something that we, hallelujah, need to understand, that when we have some stagnation or when we have some things that is hindering us, it's like there's a cat on the line. Hallelujah. And it says, and they that are in our Christ have by the flesh with the afflictions and lust. We got to crucify them. We got to get rid of our selfishness. We got to get rid of our own desires that is causing us to be distant from God. Then he went on in the latter part of the teaching, he talked about alteration. Now, I'm being a person that's so... Sometimes people call me for alterations. I ask them a series of questions because I want to know before I touch that garment. So I ain't going to touch no garment if I feel like I'm gonna mess it up. But some things is beyond my level of the sewing that I do. I don't proclaim to be a professional, but I do know how to sew. And I do know how to make alterations, but some things I just do not touch. When you talk about alterations, you're talking about adjustments. And adjustments means a result of changing to make a take it a little bit further than what he thought. An alteration is an adjustment. A result is a result of changing to make a proper fit. So when you look at this thing, and he's talking about the shearing, God gave us commandments for us to lay aside every weight and sin that's so easy to possess. If we don't know how to do that, this word gives us a conglomerate of things to tell us, how to get that adjustment done so that we can properly fit with the alignment of God. Now, sometimes I've heard this thing. God knew what he was getting when he got us. First of all, because he created us. Surprise that he got to do some alterations to us, as Pastor Aaron was saying. Some of us, we have done this, that, and the other. And when we finally decide that we gonna want to be saved, we decided we're going to make Jesus our choice. There's an alteration process that has to go on because he got to cut away. We got to cut away that stony heart. We got to cut away our own ideas, how we think that stuff is supposed to go instead of the way that God wanted to go. That's Aaron. And it so happened that you talked about loving someone from a distance. When we love someone from a distance, let us do it God's way and not our way.
Amen.
If someone does love us in all thy ways to acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Because sometimes we can cut folks off, and it could be a misunderstanding on our part. There was a communication misunderstanding on our part from our understanding of what the situation happened. So this is why it's necessary. This is for everybody, including me. We need to take every situation to God. Allow him. I just said, told this to my son on his Facebook page. We have to remember Matthew 7, verses 2 and 3. I'm not going to even tell you what it means. You're going to have to go look and see what it says. We have to remember God keeps a good track record. Everything that we say, do, think, feel, and the whole nine. And when we, hallelujah, decide to do whatever we decide to do, and we don't acknowledge him, remember, there's going to be some adjustments on our part that got to take place. Because God's going to have to come back and do something in order for us to be in his will, to be in the way. Now, I'm not saying that God ain't going to tell us to stay away from certain. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that whatever we decide that we're going to do, remember, I did say a promise is a promise. And I'm going to even tie in Joshua 1 and 8 in there. Because if we meditating on the word of God, this is where grace and mercy comes in. I also said that if God did us like we do to others, suppose he decided to cut us off. People want to know, God, well, what did I do? Hallelujah. God, is that my own punishment? Am I getting a whooping for this? It may not even be that. But sometimes we have to get an understanding. And this is necessary. So when we meditate on the word of God, trust me, after I have read 2 Peter chapter 1, 2, and 3, I'm here to tell you that my whole entire emotion, mindset, heart have shifted into a whole different realm. Because I'm like, God, if you is not speaking to the generation now, the church world now, the entire world now, we done missed the mark because we have not followed every I and crossed every T. And this word is a promise. It's a promise. And as he said, the dangers of not sharing, cutting away, getting those alterations done and adjustments. The old song says Jesus is getting us ready for that great day. Who shall be able to stand? Who? It ain't just talking about the sinner. It's talking about the saints as well. Who going to be able to stand? We got to get some alterations done, some adjustments done, so that we can make some changes, so we can have that perfect fit. What is that perfect fit? To hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. But see, somebody ain't going to rest. Somebody ain't going to hear that. It's better for us to do it now, to just stand before the throne of God. We ain't going to have no time to get it together. He's not going to give us another second to tell us, okay, I'm going to give you a second to go over there and repent and get this together. It's too late. When the word comes the way the word comes, God knows what's inside of us. And I believe the word said if we speak, we have no sin. Don't fool yourself. Something, he going to come and show us something that we ain't got together. It's something that can be improved, alterated, so that we can have a perfect fit. Now, I hope that we ain't purposefully sinning. Now, see, if we purposely sinning, then there's a problem. What I mean by purposely sinning, that means I'm going to go over there and cuss somebody out. I'm going to go over there and just scandalize their name. I'm going to go over there and hop in the bed with Fred, John, and Jane. I know that's purposely that's wrong. I said, I ain't say you. But I ain't going to do that. As you know, I told somebody the other day, he laughed at me, but I was serious. Because I was letting him know, he's talking about, I need a wife, and da-da-da. I knew what spirit was talking. So the purposely told him, I'm sorry for young people, but I told him, ain't no piece of flesh is worth me going to hell over. Because I worked too hard to try to make it to heaven. And I'm not going to be moved by somebody come dangling a carrot in front of my face, telling me they can woo me and wow me and stuff. No, let me just struggle with what I got and see how God moves. I be just humbling myself unto God. And then I'm going to resist the devil, and then he going to flee. This is just, so I'm want to just share that little bit before I open up the line for the conference line. And so, Pastor Aaron, you're right. there must be some alteration. And when you said the pastor, in the pastor, I said, okay, God.
Mm-hmm.
All has to be told. Because we are God's sheep and the people of his pasture. And he got to come to do some adjustments sometimes. He said, I chastise those whom I love. That means he got to cut away some things that you know, that is there, that he don't like. So that we can be able to reap the benefits and the rewards that he wants to give us. I tell my children, I told my grandchildren when they was here, I don't reward bad behavior. So if I don't reward bad behavior, I'm sure God don't reward bad behavior. Come on, somebody. We got to pay for that bad behavior. This is, we've got spankings, whoopings, and whatever else, punishment. God does the same thing. It's just done in a different way. And believe me, it does hurt if you're getting it done the right way. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So we're going to open up the floor for questions and comments this morning. Again, if you don't want to be audible, you can text 334-440-6152. Make your question or your comment there. Administrator will let us know that it's there. All right. For those that's on the conference line, if you desire to make a comment, please, please, please make sure your phone is unmuted. Star 6 your line and come right on in. Was there anyone this morning?
Good morning. God bless you.
Good morning.
How are you all doing this morning? I was truly blessed this morning. I got up a little late, but I was able to hear truly blessed me by Pastor Aaron. So I thank God for hearing him this morning and how the Lord used him in a mighty way. I just wanted to say one thing about the cutting away, if I may. And as you were talking and as Pastor Aaron was talking, sometimes with those shears can be kind of dull. So we need to make sure that when we're reading the word of God and he is cutting away, that we're not using, falling, letting it fall, you know, where it's resting, using the old things, not saying the word of God is old, but using old prayers or prayers that are not effective in order for those shears to cut off the things that need to be cut off. And sometimes those shears, they don't feel good when it's being cut away. But I had a vision as he was talking about the sheep, and how they sometimes lay there uncomfortable in uncomfortable positions, you know, but that sometimes that's where we have to stay humble and allow God to just do the things that he needs to do and do us, so that heaviness, that all that hair, all that stuff from the can be taken away so that we can be free. And that's where deliverance comes from. So I just want to thank God for the word today.
Amen. And Evangelist Patrice, I want to say this too. If the shears are dull and it happens to cut us, and if it's not properly treated, it can become infected. And it can grow some things that, you know, it can cause more damage. And what am I saying? We don't properly apply the word, and we allow it to you know, we become damaged because we are doing it with the dullness way. Sometimes that affection can become so bad that it can cause death. And this is so important that we understand that, as Pastor Aaron said, the word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts and divides. So that means that sword is sharp. It's not dull. So if are damaged and we are become affected by dullness, that means sometimes the word can come that somebody, I'm just giving this an example, that leader may be trying to help a sheep or something, and they say things out of their emotions, say things out of their feelings. That's a dull shear. I'm just making it plain. That individual, if they don't have a good relationship with God, can become infected, and eventually they will be damaged to the point of that if they're not getting the proper nutrition, the proper treatment, they can spiritually die. We have to be so careful when we are handling God's word, when we are handling God's people, when we are handling, and that's saved and unsaved alike. So thank you for bringing that, like you said, prayers and how we do things, because this is alteration. Remember, I said an alteration is to bring about a change for a perfect fit. And God, he does not want us to perish. He don't want us to perish. But we perish because, not just because of the lack of knowledge, we perish because sometimes folks get in their emotions and their feelings, they plug up their ears, they allow their heart to become hardened, and then they walk away not getting a full understanding, not getting clarity, not seeking God. And as the young people say, they feel in some kind of way. Some kind of way. Take that to the altar. Put it on the altar and allow God. There's been times, and this has been recently, that some things have hurt my feelings. Yeah, they hurt my feelings. But I couldn't let the sun go down like that. I couldn't allow God to pass me by. So I said, God, you're going to have to help me, because I don't want to feel like this, and I don't want this to become pebble. Then it turned to a stone. Then there's a whole mountain that's there. And the next thing you know, I'm out there in left field with this emotion that I don't allow to get hard, a callous, that it shouldn't even been that way if I had just brought it to you. So I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about y'all, because y'all don't have those problems. So I had to take that to God and get an understanding and allow him to direct me in the situation. And sometimes I have to continue to pray, because the enemy, when he sees the garment that that has been swept, and God, is he going to come back and try it again? But I hope that when he come and huffing and puffing, that it ain't going to, he can't come back in. Because why? I have the blood applied to that area, the proper alteration, the proper translation to what God wants to make that perfect fit for the Spirit of God to operate and me to carry on the mission. One of the things that I appreciate about my training in the military is about how they said the buddy system. And I appreciate that because, hallelujah, glory be to God, it lines up with the word of God. If two is better than one, I want you to understand that. Two is better than one. Because if I fall and get hurt, the other one can come and assist me to get up. And if both of us get hurt, we can at least come together and try so that we can patch it up until some more help comes. Saints of God, don't be out there stranded, hurting, bleeding, however you fix in your mind this morning. Get the proper nutrients and the help that you need. First aid is always available. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That alteration that needs to be helped for us in the spirit is here. A promise, promise. God said he never will leave us nor forsake us. The reason why we feel lonely, the weird reason why we feel left out, is because we have departed from him and not he from us. I'm going to let that sink in. Any other questions or comments this morning? Star 6, your line, and come right on in.
Amen. Good morning, and God bless you, Evangelist Wilkes.
Good morning, Prophetess.
Good morning, Pastor Aaron. I wanted to say a phenomenal job, phenomenal word. As you were teaching and releasing, I truly thank God for what he allowed you to release today. And to sum up everything, because I know that there are other people that want to share, when you said sheep cannot shear themselves, that stuck out the most to me throughout everything, because in this walk, people feel like they can do things themselves. Now, understand that there are some things that we have to be willing to do, but in order to be completely sheared, we have to be willing to give of ourselves wholeheartedly. And so thank you so much, because you broke that down. I listened in and I said, Lord, he taught to the point that even the youngest of the youngest, a toddler, young adult, teenagers should be able to understand and get it, because here we go. Jesus taught with parables. And so you broke it down comparing things to the natural to be able to understand the things spiritually. So I truly thank God for what you shared. Again, phenomenal job. We thank God for the oil of the anointing that's on your life and what you release for this hour. This is a word that you can take and reteach, because it breaks down everything, every barrier that needs to be broken. And if we of ourselves are willing to just give God something to work with, the shearing part, whether uncomfortable or not, can get to a place that we don't even realize is happening, because we yielded ourselves to God. Thank you. Between your dialect, I said, Lord, I thank you for a uniqueness, a unique man of God. And there's nothing about you, let's just say, I enjoyed every part of it, and I thank God that you are meant to be where you are for this season of your life. God bless you, Pastor Aaron.
Man.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your words. I mean, even down to the woman of God who spoke before. And I want to say thank you to Dr. Wilkes for even clearing up a few things I didn't quite get into, but yes, ma'am. I just want to say that even, you know, God was dealing with me about, you know, how, you know, we focus on wanting to be comfortable so much, and that, but people don't realize that when you get caught up on being comfortable, we become complacent. You know, so I want you to know that God said, okay, I'm gonna bring you to a place of peace. He never said comfort. You know, because if we got comfortable, we would never venture into unfamiliar territory. And you know what I'm saying? To pull down strongholds. So if you stay comfortable and complacent, we ain't going to sit there and do nothing. We will end up like those sheep that, you know, he even has some animals that will put up a fight when it comes down to being shared. So even the woman of God who just spoke this now, that yes, that is true. We have to be willing to go. So we have to recognize there's a problem. It ain't always people. You know what I'm saying? I thank you, Dr. Wilkes, for even saying about clearing up the level 2 by the distance. That's true what you said. You know, don't get an attitude because your grandma 87, but you want her to babysit so you can go out there and party.
Mm-mm.
No, that's your problem. That's for male, female. You know what I'm saying? Even down to me, you know, I can't become complacent because I'm used to having a quote-unquote system. That's no. So I'm going to have to step out that comfort zone and be willing to go wherever God led. You know what I'm saying? Even when God dealt with Noah, Noah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah. I apologize. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. I know that was uncomfortable. He didn't want to go and speak to those people. You know what I'm saying? But that he had to be put in the uncomfortable position. He had to get swallowed up by the great fish. He had to get swallowed up by this giant fish into a place of uncomfort. And even when I was reading that scripture and studying that, how he was saying he felt like his soul was in Sheol, which is the grave. He thought he was in, to my understanding, my interpretation, he felt he was in purgatory. And it made him so uncomfortable that he had to turn to God, repent, turn over, and just to be spat up and washed back up and continue on his journey. So it's going to take us some time being uncomfortable. No, we don't want to lay down and quote-unquote take it. But there are going to be some things that God going to say. We have to sit there and lay down and take it. You know what I'm saying? You know? So, yes, you know, that's the season where we're at. We're in a place, and, I mean, God was even dealing with me on Sunday. I went forth on my church page on Sunday, and God was letting me know that we're in a season now that we just can't afford to miss out. We can't afford to play around. You know, God was telling me you got to come out of the dead place. So, yeah, stuff might get cut off and fall dead around you, but you got to, and I'm talking about dead meaning the old man. That means that fleshly stuff going to fall dead off you. You don't got no business going back to that dead stuff and picking it back up. You know, don't even allow other people to bring your past to you. You know, it's amazing. I had left these cards in my Bible, but I'm just going to do the definition of past and dead. So past means gone by time, gone by in time, and no longer existing. And, you know, whenever you look at the definition, they have similar meanings, and one of them is dead and buried or over. Dead means no longer alive, similar with meaning departed and with God. So when you give yourself up to God and you give these dead things to God, let God handle it. And my scripture for that was Micah 7:18-20. And it was talking about how God will literally take the old things and cast it into the sea. You know, God will let it go down and be submerged. You ain't got no business diving. You can't even swim. Get out that stuff. You know, so that's the season where we're at. You know, yeah, it might be uncomfortable. We might not like it. You know what I'm saying? Even with grown people sometimes, some people tend to hit it. Don't let nobody touching in their hair or doing their hair. But for you to discern and break away from that former self, that former look, that former behavior and patterns, something's going to have to be done. You know what I'm saying? Some people, a man may need a quote-unquote a close shave. You know, and that might you know, nip the skin a little bit. But you know what I'm saying? What is a little nip when you're sitting there allowing your whole self to die? So I think you all just for even allowing me once again to be on this platform on this morning. I just thank everything, God, for your words of encouragement. You know, it really does the heart good to even get feedback, you know, because I profess I do not know everything. I can only give stuff as God give it to me, and that's the best place to be. Amen. So thank you all. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over.
Amen. Is there any other questions or comments this morning? Star 6, your line. Administrator, is there anything over on the chat side?
No, ma'am. All lines are clear.
Okay. Anyone else? Amen.
Good
morning.
Great morning.
Good morning, Overseer. How are you this morning?
Amen. It is well. Hallelujah. Amen. We certainly thank God, amen, for hearing the word of God on this morning. We are honored by what God is doing. I am godly proud, amen, of Pastor Aaron. Certainly, when I think of the word that he brought forth on this morning, my mind goes on to John 10, where I immediately begin to hear that if we are part of the fold of Christ Jesus, God through Christ Jesus, but the scripture came to mind in John 10 that a stranger voice that we won't hear. So in other words, if in order to not be distracted or pulled away as a sheep, amen, we first have to come in relationship, true relationship, like Pastor Aaron mentioned. He said something about grandmother, but I want to use it in this angle of, I know my, you know, the song came to me, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh God, standing in the need of prayer, not my mother, not my father, not my sister or my brother, but it's me, oh God. I'm standing in the need of prayer, where we come to the trueness and the oneness of knowing the Father for ourselves. Amen. Surely we can say, according to John 10, amen, that a stranger voice we won't hear. In other words, we won't be distracted from our past. We won't be distracted by what somebody else is doing. That means I'm allowing the Father, I'm allowing the shepherd, amen, me as the sheep, to allow him to share me, meaning to cut away, to remove everything, which is the word of God, cleansing and purging, because the word of God says it will not return to him void, but it shall accomplish what it was sent out to do. Amen. So we honor the Lord again for this word on today. We're super excited to witness, hallelujah, where God is taking this man of God. Amen. Pastor Aaron Myers. Amen. We honor the Lord from Ark Family Fellowship on today. Powerful word, great word. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? Questions or comments this morning? You can star 6 your line and come right on in. From the conference line. This is Hallelujah. We appreciate Pastor Aaron this morning. Remember, some of you that may come on a little late, I came on with the song because I love you. No.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
And I forgot myself. Let me get my brain together here. Oh, how I love Jesus. That's what I started off this morning before I prayed. But remember that a promise is a promise. When we line ourselves up with this word, saints of God, hallelujah, when we allow God to do what he does, when we allow, we can see the promises of him flourish in our lives, naturally and spiritually. But I want the spiritual thing promises to flourish first, just me. Because if I know those spiritual things flourish, then seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. So when the things are added, he will add everything he wants me to have. Made provision, things I can walk in. Joshua 1 and 8 will come alive even the more. I got to seek him. Ask, speak, and knock. You tell us. Promise. Allow God to do what he's going to do. And then, as Pastor Aaron said this morning, there's danger when we don't. There's dangers when we don't acknowledge him. There's dangers when we don't allow him to fight our battles. There's dangers when we lean to our own understanding. There's dangers. I'm not saying that God does not give us common sense or does not give us the ability to think on our own. But still, he wants us to acknowledge him. And so that we, the things that we do know, we can make sure that we're doing it the right way. And that we won't have to come back and do, one of the things that I hated the most in school, oh, Lord Jesus, help me today, is to do a test over. Because the second test, to me, seemed it was harder than the first test. And I think that the teacher designed it that way on purpose. So that I can get it right the first. This is just me. Somebody else may not feel that way. Some people might say the second test is easier. See, every time I have taken a test, it was harder than the first one. And another thing that I hated was multiple choice. I hated multiple choice tests. Some people do really well. I was not one of those ones. You can give me, I'd rather have an open-end question that I can answer
and I can express the hallelujah. So the teacher would know that if I, whatever I put on that paper, they would understand that I got the material. But if I had to guess multiple choices, oh, no, no, I didn't do so well with those. But nevertheless, this is just Carlina. I thank God for the word this morning. And all I can say is, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. And the only way that that can be done is that he's going to do the shearing in my life. I might not be a Pastor Ganey or Evangelist Pickett this morning, but I'm making my little joyful noise so that God can make the alteration so that I can be a perfect fit for his kingdom. All right. We give him one final call for any questions or comments. Pastor Aaron, you got anything else you want to release?
Oh, no, ma'am, not at this time, but I just still want to say I bless the Lord for those who had a listening ear to hear on this morning. You know, because I often, well, I guess I am sharing, I suppose, but I often tell people, you know, and I'm getting to that with telling people, you know, sometimes, you know, some things can seem a little bit bittersweet, you know. You may not like it, but it's for our own good, you know, and that's still talking about a part of being comfortable and uncomfortable, you know. But, we're in a place now that certain things ought to make you uncomfortable. You know, even when God says something, I say uncomfortable, not meaning that people take it into being anxious or having anxiety or fearful. I'm talking about in the place that it should ignite you to want to see, okay, God, what are you really saying? You know, not that you're questioning God in that sense of who he is, but you want to get into a place of understanding and learning who God is and what God has to say for you or what God has to say for the body of Christ, you know, for this generation of people, you know. So I just truly thank God for his word, you know, even down to, you know, I like talking about, you know, spiritual surgery because my mind even goes back to I always find myself something every time I study something, and I didn't do it, I didn't say it today or on this morning, but I find myself going back into what I consider the first surgery, and that's when God created Eve out of Adam's rib, you know. Well, actually, she wasn't Eve at first. It was just woman. She didn't become Eve until after, you know, they took part of the fruit. But anyway, my mind goes back to how, you know, what is it called, anesthesia, and they give you that medicine, you go to sleep. You know, it says God had to take Adam into a deep sleep. And then, you know, and then he pulled from out of Adam's rib, and, you know, he formed Eve from out of his rib. So please understand that when God shears and God removes stuff from out of us, it's to make us better. It's to make something grow and work for our betterment. You know what I'm saying? You know, we might feel that we're being stripped of a certain status amongst peers and people, but notice God had to take something out of Adam to create his help. So when we have things removed from out of us, it's for our help. You know, it's to take the blindness from out of you. It's to allow that circulation to go back into you so you can truly flow into the things of God. You know, it's to get that mobility back going. So if God tells you to move, you know how to move and execute. You don't have to doubt what it is that God is saying and God is unctioning you to do. Amen. So I just wanted to just, you know, pretty much end with that whenever God removes something, it's to create an opportunity for us so that we can live, you know, even down to, you know, that we got to we got to die in the flesh so that we can live in the spirit. It doesn't mean that you just fall out and drop dead, but you gotta let some things go. You got to let situations go. You know what I'm saying? I have, four other siblings, three brothers, one sister, and there are certain conversations and things that it's not that I'm cutting them off, but there are certain conversations and situations that, and this is not about me being a pastor, this is before, and I had to pretty much cut short and cut off certain things. I had to, you know, walk in that enough is enough, which is a certain stuff I just don't tolerate. So, and it all worked. I had to cut it off then because now that I am a pastor, I can't entertain the same conversation. I love my siblings. We cut the fool almost every time. But certain times I'm going to have to really cut myself away from them. All right, y'all, let me go ahead back inside. Hey, you know, something. All right, well, I'll catch y'all later. Y'all be safe. Love y'all. You know what I'm saying? So even down to, you know, cutting things off and, you know, leaving certain things in the past and letting things die, it's not about you being indifferent or rude or impatient or completely intolerable with people. It's a matter that you have to let some things go so that you can keep flowing and moving and how God tell you to move. You know what I'm saying? So don't be so caught up on the former things, you know. But that's pretty much all I have to say on this morning. I just once again thank you all for chiming in. I look forward to the next time and the time and time after that. However this line keeps going or however it evolves and develops, I'm just excited. And I thank God for being a part on this morning.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, people of God, we certainly thank and praise God for Pastor Aaron this morning, everyone in their respective places that gave comments this morning. For those of you that is listening in, especially our youth, please, please, please take heed. Wherever place that you are at, no matter what age group you are in, and your living arrangements, remember, God has you in mind. It may not seem like it because you're going through this, that, and the other. There is purpose. You may not understand everything right now. But as the old mother used to tell me, baby, just keep on living. You'll understand it later on. And even in the midst of it, and I'm going to share this testimony before we go offline. It did hurt. It did. I'm like, God, even in the things that are the process of me being the oldest child and going through all the stuff that I had to go through, mom dying without a will and such things that I had to go through the process. It's been almost 7 months ago in a couple of days. But yesterday, I was able to minister to one of the supervisors that called me, and we were talking about one of her employees. Employees and stuff, I was telling her, she was like, oh, Carlina, you're just so helpful, da-da-da-da, you know, she was just telling me. And I said, well, you know, I don't want to relive December again, ever again in life. And I began to just tell her, you know, with my mom and then the stuff that was going on with the job. It was just overwhelming. And then she just opened up. And then I began to tell her, I don't take my job as a job, but I take my job as a ministry. Because I don't know whoever's on the other side that I'm being a servant to, save and unsave alike. I don't know what my experience that I have experienced is going to help somebody else. Saying this to all of our youth, there may be so many storms happening in your life. There may be so many issues going on. You may feel flustered, feel like giving up. First, let me say suicide is not the option. So if that's in your mind,
rebuke that spirit. Because that's the enemy wants you to kill the vision that God has in your life. And I want you to understand that. Number two, whatever it is that you're going through, it may not make sense to you, what I'm about to say. But I want you to praise God anyhow. It's not going to be easy to do it, but do it. And when you do it, you will find that God, just as Pastor Aaron said, he promised you peace. God will give you peace even in turmoil. He will give you peace. That things can be falling apart. But if you praise him in the process, I had to learn that the hard way. And now when stuff starts, I might start crying. I might be like hurt. I might be like, but I had to stop and I had to grab me a song real quick and start praising myself out that the peace of God can come in and flood my soul. So be encouraged. Be strong. That's one of the scriptures in Joshua. Be strong. Be courageous. And be of good courage. And God will, I promise you, he will strengthen your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all of the listeners that's in. And thank you for our youth, oh God, especially. Because, God, they got up out of their bed. Oh, God, they woke up this morning and dialed the phone to listen in to what you have to tell them. God, I pray that the word has been spoken this morning, Pastor Aaron and many of the others, will cause, hallelujah, the young, the middle age, and senior life to rise up in the newness of this day and go forward and be strong in you. I pray, oh God, hallelujah, that any error that we have committed against this word, that we repent right now, and God, that you will forgive us. We're looking for forgiveness. We're asking that you help us, oh God, to be, hallelujah, that which you would have us to be. Lord, create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us, Lord. Allow the alterations that you want to be in our lives, oh God, hallelujah, even though we may not understand, that you would do it, hallelujah, to the glory of your will. We praise you and we magnify you, oh God, for all, hallelujah, blessings and tests and trials, oh God. We just magnify you because we know that you are there to see us through. We thank you and we praise you. And Lord God, bless our leaders. Bless, oh God, hallelujah, those that support ministry. Bless each and every one, hallelujah, according to that which you will allow to happen in their lives. We forever give you the praise, glory, and honor. Now, Father, hallelujah, we don't know you in the pardon of our sins. The resurrection, hallelujah, of the suffering that you have went through. And God, hallelujah, those of us, oh God, that need our lives changed, so that we can have a relationship with you. I pray, oh God, that we will be born again of your water and your spirit. Lord, that you will show us a better way, that we can walk and be holy because you are holy. Grant us this day. Grant it to us, oh God,
In the mighty, magnificent, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Administrator, is back in your hands.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yes.
Anoint my feet,
celebrating
raining now, here on the battleground.
For your glory,
we're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me.
Waging war.
He won't get
Get ready for the prophetic experience. The three-night prophetic experience. Upper Room Intern Deliverance Ministry presents a three-night prophetic experience. July 21st through 23rd, 2021 at 7 p.m. nightly at 6008B East Shirley Lane, Montgomery, Alabama. Get ready. Get ready. Your host for this event, Bishop Derek and elect Lady Evelyn Hooks, your keynote speaker. Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. of Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries of Harvey, Illinois. The three-night prophetic experience. July 21st through 23rd, 2021, 7 p.m. nightly. You don't want to miss this. Upper Room Intern Deliverance Ministries. A three-night prophetic experience you don't want to miss. Meet us at 6008B East Shirley Lane in Montgomery, Alabama. Spread the word. Tell someone to tell someone to come on in for this three-night prophetic experience with Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. July 21st through 23rd, 2021 at 7 p.m. nightly. You don't want to miss it. Come and get your blessing.
You're more real than the ground I'm standing on. This ain't old school, but I just got to love on him for a moment. You're more your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You are my reality. My reality. Lift your voice. Worshipers in here tonight. Your thoughts divine.